What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that knows.
Here we go.
We're back and we're better than ever. Got a knack for making things better. Face facts.
Wow.
Cause your opinion don't matter. This maniac is gonna step on whoever. Oh. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how bloody hell are you?
Very well. I was well before that.
Do him well.
You threw me.
Good to hear it.
What is that? What is that from?
Oh, that's the Eric Bischoff theme tune.
Eric Bischoff, of course.
But of course, it relates to Man United being back.
Of course.
You know what I had? Yeah. And it was too long. I timed it out.
Uh-huh.
I was actually going to give the Mike Bassett, Rudyard Kipling speech. From and then be like,
we're playing four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Man United are playing 4-4-fucking-2. Because we did.
Do you know, do you know what I think of all the time is he couldn't hit the back door on a Renault Espace or whatever.
it's a truly wonderful film.
It is actually brilliant. Yeah. It's a bit of a, like, I don't even know if it's a hidden gem, but like,
it's a cult. Yeah, classic. Like, yeah, you know what it is.
That, like, it's right up there in like terms of like Office or like, you know, like that
just
sort
jokes
of like
per like,
yeah,
you know, it's a lost art form is the mockumentary.
Yeah,
you know,
it
and
is actually, isn't it?
It, I know. There's just so many fucking good bits. Like,
yeah,
let's fucking kill him.
That all the time,
whacker
well.
Like.
Yeah, yeah, he's back. Well, I mean, back for a game at least.
What a game.
I'll tell you this, it was the best I've seen United play.
Sign him up
in fucking
give him
years.
A 5-year contract.
I would love it. I would love it if he signed a long term deal.
I mean,
it's
care,
not
care look, what you wish for, my friend.
No, Terry, come on.
You gotta
I
tell you
I
what,
mean at this
we,
stage.
If we beat Arsenal and if we play like we did against City,
you can't condense it into anything more than like a 30
if,
game
if he,
spell.
He's 17 games. Right. If he gets us Champions League,
I don't think you can. Well, maybe. Yeah, like, if you're unprecedented, like, amazing form, the vibes are good, he's doing the right things, he's looking at the, like all this. Like,
but why,
yeah.
why wouldn't you?
Well, even like, you said last week, like, you know.
Oh, Solskjaer.
Yeah, but you said last week, you know, I was thinking about it. You were like, he did a good-ish job in Middlesbrough, was
yes.
your exact words.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering how much of this is just the, oh, that old prick is gone. We're just happy he's gone. And whoever's here is going to be fine.
It all starts like that. Same thing with Klopp.
Yeah, but that, you gotta bypass the new manager bounce phase first. And then we'll talk, you know. Have a couple of losses and then see how you recover.
Yeah, but like what I'm saying to you is like we've 17 games left.
Yeah.
You know, if he wins 17 games, or and he's not gonna, but like say he did.
Yeah.
Or
if he won 17,
if he gets maybe. We're 1 point off top four.
Yeah.
Which is all, I'm going to circle back to that now.
Okay.
Because you mugs are ahead of us by a point.
No, somehow.
Exactly, right? So we're 1 point off top four. We've got tougher. I worked it out. We would have been 3 points behind Arsenal. I know it's woulda, coulda, shoulda. But
yeah.
The games were like Leeds, Bournemouth.
What if you won those
Everton,
games?
If all the draws, Wolves.
Oh man, who are you telling? Who the hell are you telling?
No, but Andy, like,
if we had not drawn against the three newly promoted teams, we'd only be
but
like
didn't
des- 6 points
behind. But you didn't
Arsenal.
Deserve like the games that we did. Like,
it's all subjective, though, isn't it?
Oh, cool.
Isn't it?
What, you're not watching the United games, even under Amorim.
Well, I watched the last one.
Yeah, great. You know, and we
first full game.
We
I've
literally
watched.
Should have won 5-0.
Honestly,
technically, no, it fucking burns my ass. Like, should have been 3-0.
I actually thought it was 3. I turned it off thinking, oh, and all day thinking Man United won 3-0. And then I seen the YouTube thumbnail. It was like 2-0. I'm like, that's wrong.
They chalked off the Mount goal. And it's like, let's just cast them. A couple of weeks ago where Wirtz was actually more offside than Cunha. And they come up with some new fancy rule to give it to
thick lines.
Yeah. And I'm like, sorry, where's my thick lines?
I thought
And also, they drew the line against the wrong, like, Rodri was further back.
But you know what I think as well?
Shit show.
But you know what I think as well? One, I do agree, the Wirtz, I was like, as soon as I seen it, I'm like, ah, fuck, he's offside. And then the semi-automated, it was like, oh, well, now I have no confidence in that anymore. Yeah. Like,
which
I used to think, like,
because that was great.
Like, okay, like, I'll just believe whatever that is. Like, yeah. But now I'm like, no, that's wrong as well.
It's all wrong.
But then one thing I always think with the offsides, I'm like, I feel like they could do a little bit of trickery in terms of, like, when the ball leaves the passer's foot. I think that should be looked at more than...
Do you remember the United game against Arsenal?
Yeah.
Where it was like 1-1 and then they scored 2 in the like...
Yeah.
But we had a goal ruled out before that and it was like...
Offside.
It was offside and then it was like, and they're showing the replay. So I'm like, yeah, but like, you're choosing the last point of contact. Like, it's like when the ball like leaves his toe. Yeah. I'm like, roll it back like one frame. The ball is still being kicked and he's onside.
Like, I feel like if you wanted to, you could just say no, and no one's going to say, like, no one's going to notice that with the ball, but like,
That's when he kicked it.
But I feel like, I'm like, are we stringent enough on like, when's the ball leaving his foot?
Benefit goes to the attacker.
Does
it? Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, but you know, I was happy we
just
smashed them. Like,
you know what'd be funny? If you just got rid of offsides and brought back hatching.
No.
And then let's go crazy. You know what I mean? I mean, they're already fucking trying to make it worse. I guarantee you, it would be more entertaining if we did that.
Just be mayhem.
Yeah.
Be bedlam. Like,
yeah.
Like the goalkeeper's like, get up.
Fuck off.
Yeah, get up. He's not moving. I can't leave.
Six players like just surrounding the keeper. He's like,
ref.
Yeah.
We fucking bashed them. And
it
like,
was very impressive.
You know, considering we should have been like a goal up in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Barry off the crossbar.
Yeah.
Ahmed hit the post.
Yeah.
Donnarumma pulling saves out was whole.
Yeah.
You know?
Three
offsides.
Very, very tight offsides as well.
I mean, the first two were definitely offside. Yeah. But they were close.
Very.
But I was like, you know what? Like, and like, I saw a thing. It was like, oh, Michael Carrick has reintroduced rondos into the training. And I was like, isn't that standard? Like, shouldn't everybody be doing that?
Yeah.
And it's apparently they weren't doing it under Amram. He got rid of it. And then it's like, you see it in the game.
So was he a big greasy fraud?
I don't know.
A big rube?
I don't know, because you hear the sporting players and the fans talk about him. He's like this generational talent. And, you know, he's like, the club was broken before he got there and he picked them back. And you know,
yeah.
I look at him at United. And I backed him for a long part. But, like, it certainly seems like a cloud has lifted. Like, you know, it seems like...
It feels that way.
Vibes are
back.
But, like, also, they're talking about, like, how Carrick and, like, Steve Holland in particular, like, the training that they've done since they come in, they're like, this is way better than what it was. And I saw clips. It was like, his assistant didn't even have his coach, or one of his assistants didn't even have his coaching badge. And it was, I think it was Center Devils or one of the... And he's like... That fat fucker. If I've had to see him fucking waddling out of the tunnel. He's like, he doesn't even have his badges. What's he fucking doing there?
I do think, though, like, with stuff like that, like, because I think about Liverpool this year and obviously with United for the last few years, but, like, because the players, maybe not so much United at one point, but, like, even with Liverpool, say, this year, like, we know that they're all good players, but, like, there's just some connection to the mental that just turns you into, like, you're more meek, you're not doing what you should be doing, you're not making runs, but, like, you know that they're capable of, like, it's never a talent thing, it's like, but that mental side is like, they should be devoting so much more.
Well, that was Fergie, they all say he never coached a training session. He was the manager and he managed his staff being the players, and it was
get the vibe, get the,
and it was
the
level
know.
If you're not hitting the level, like, they talk about the Portsmouth game where it was like they're on for the treble and the semi-final, and it was like the keeper got sent off, Rio had to go, but, like, they absolutely battered Portsmouth, didn't score, and then Portsmouth got the penalty, and then Rooney's like, you didn't talk to us for 2 weeks after we lost the game, like, Sir Alex, he didn't talk to us for 2 weeks because he was so angry, and, like, that's the level that you're at, like. Yeah.
So I do think, like, the mental side of all sports, but, like, I notice it with football, because I'm like, how can Liverpool just play, like, a bit better now, but, like, how can they play like they've totally just lost their mojo at, like, 7 games into the season when they, like, they weren't doing great at the start?
You were papering over the crack. Yeah, like, but, you won 5 in a row, and I was like, how have you won 5 in
I know.
A row?
Like, I say 3 of them were like, whew. And then 2 were like,
Newcastle,
yeah, we deserve that.
Definitely.
But, yeah.
Bournemouth. A lot of them were, like, last minute. Like, Bournemouth was, like, 2 goals.
A lot since then. of last night.
Two goals in like the 89, from the 89 minute or something, no, like, you know, it was...
But like, yeah, I'm just fascinated by it.
One thing, before we get on to our bet. Well, let's do the bet now.
Okay,
so we haven't set terms. Are we just rolling over that, like, you want your pipeline punch again?
Yeah.
I'll have a sixer of bottles of Lucozade.
Okay, like that.
No, I tell you what, they've done something to the cans. Remember I had a can a couple of weeks ago in here? And I was like...
Yeah, you didn't like it.
What's the fucking taste on that? It's like candy taste or something at the end of it. No, no.
I like it. Okay, so, and the bet is if United finish ahead of Liverpool.
No, I think we can say... Because we were discussing, it was never going to be who finishes ahead.
Okay, what is it?
Let's say 3 points. Let's say a win. If United finish within 3 points of Liverpool.
Within 3 points?
Yeah. So if we finish 4 points behind you, you win. If we finish 3 points, I win.
I don't think so.
What do you mean you don't think so?
I don't think so.
We were talking about 10 points at the start of the season. You're ahead now. You're a point ahead now.
Yeah, but...
And we've got a tougher schedule.
I mean, do you? We both have pretty much a full round of...
I don't know. With the amount of fucking goobers we played and dropped points against, like...
I
still have to go to Newcastle.
Within 3 points?
Yeah.
I feel like I should... There should be another stake where one of us gets more if something else happens. You know what I mean?
Okay. What? Like what?
If either...
Yeah, I tell you what.
If either team finishes more than 10 points ahead of the other, then... Okay. You have to get two cans or two.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do that. Things, yeah. You know? So like, if the gap, why don't we say seven? If the gap is seven, it's double. So like,
I don't think there's any way. I'm not even going to jinx it, but I don't think there's any way I'm going to be forking out two things.
Yeah, you don't know.
United ain't finishing more than 7 points ahead of Liverpool.
You don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
And who the fuck knows, actually? Yeah. Okay.
One last thing I want to talk about, just on our football, our weekly. Fucking the toxic little trolls, Butt and Skulls. Oh, that rhymes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what's their deal?
They're little fucking arseholes is what their deal is. Like,
as if, I mean, I cannot say that I'm one bit remotely surprised. They both look like the two most miserable bastards I've ever seen.
I remember Yapstam, and I'd say Ryan Giggs would be on that podcast with them if he wasn't hiding out from the public
eye. I see his brother Rodri Giggs is fairly active on Twitter. And literally every comment, and he's kind of like,
he's leaning into it.
He's a bit cheeky. Yeah, but like every comment is like, it's like, it just talks about his missus being balls, brother being balls deep in his missus.
Well,
their words.
Didn't they do the Paddy Power ad?
With him?
Yeah, and it was like, there was like allusions to like Giggsy riding his wife.
They are kind of become trolls. It's a weird thing with Martinez now and Skulls. I gave him a number.
Yeah,
I thought he was supposed to be gone as well, helping his son. We're seeing him more than ever now.
He's on his podcast with Paddy McGuinness. So
what's he retiring from exactly?
His thing.
TV
is,
punditry?
Maybe. I don't know. But like, podcast keeps him relevant. But it was like, they were joking about him. Haaland will be like the dad, under his arm, and then like
he'll throw him into the goal.
The derby is this weekend. Like, what are you doing?
What are you actually
like,
doing?
Imagine fucking.
I thought it was bad enough the slot was brought up. Liverpool winning two trophies in 30 years the other day, and a lot of fans were like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
What?
Because like slot last year was like. I know I'm switching to Liverpool, but it was like he was asked about winning the trophy. Oh, you this will be the second time in 30 years, and he was like, a good answer for Liverpool. He's like, I choose to look at it as 2 times in 5 years that Liverpool have won the league. And then when he was talking, he got booed, and then he was asked about it the other day, yesterday, and he was like, for me, you've been in the job for 1 year. Won the title last year twice in 30 years, so I'm a bit surprised. Right, okay, and everyone was like, "Don't fucking say that!" Like, this is the thing.
I don't know. You know, they were they should have been put in their place after his performance. Like, he was fucking great. Like, he had Haaland in his pocket, like Martinez.
Yeah.
And it was like they just then couldn't. He's like, that's a turn of phrase, you know. Obviously, we didn't think he was actually gonna do it. I'm like, fuck off.
It's more about the insinuation of like,
what do you like? What are you doing? Like, they were like, oh, Alan Hansen, you know, said you win nothing with kids, and we had thick skin, and I was like,
that's not the same.
It's not the same at all. First, I'm like, you're like, it's the only club that you see like prominent like best players of their generation,
yeah,
constantly in fucking media. Sticking their oar in the media and like talking about the players more so than the way the club is run, but like sticking their oar in and like trying to create a bad atmosphere.
Yeah.
No, nobody else. Like Robbie Fowler
True.
Is not like jumping on a podcast and like running down.
Liverpool players are like the greatest evangelists for Liverpool. Like, you
should
know what
be.
I mean?
It's the way it should be. But Man United are such a thing that it's like.
Gary Neville, I feel, is a bit more. I feel like, you know, like he's
a bit more level headed.
Yeah, he kind of tells it like it is, but I think he leans more on like the sort of puffed up chest pride.
But it's also like it's not
Sir Alex.
It's not good enough. You know what I mean? As opposed to like, how can we make it better? It's like, it's not good enough. It's never good enough.
It's like,
well, it's not the same as it was.
Can I ask you a football related question?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, Terry, and I'll put you on the spot right now, in the AFCON final, did he do the Panenka miss it on purpose?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think it was a bit weird that they didn't go batshit mental at the fact that it was saved 24 minutes into injury time to... And they're about to lose at the AFCON final. Like, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And you see players talking about it and then agreeing, okay, yeah, come on. And like, even I seen a thing only today behind Diaz where it was like one of the players for Senegal was like talking and kind of like laughing with his teammate. Like, you know, on the edge of the box.
What's going to happen? Well, maybe. I haven't looked at
like,
it enough.
But you wouldn't do that for your country.
But that's
like,
it. Like, because he seems so.
Sky it then or something.
So devastated. But then it's like, like that's it. Like, oh, you just you boot it wide.
Yeah.
But then it's a bit too obvious.
But no one reacted. They just all ran back out. Yeah. I'm like, is that what got them back on the pitch after they?
Maybe it was a bit of negotiation.
I don't know.
He did seem absolutely devastated when he was taken out. And I wonder if it's because
he won the Golden Boot. He's there with the trophy, like. Just sad.
Did they make him do that, and that's why he's sad? Like, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
You know,
you just don't know. Like, you see the ball boys chasing your man for this towel to dry the keeper's hands, like proper, and just chasing him, trying to yank it off. I'm like, fuck off.
I'm not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
The African.
It's mental. It's mental.
It's always.
The competition always throws up, like, what the fuck?
Even any some sort of random qualifier game, or like someone's like, well, that result has been thrown out, and like 10 officials have been arrested for match fixing because Nigeria won 19-0 against somebody. Yeah, you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Or.
I've never actually sat down to watch it. To watch it. You know what I mean?
And it's very easy for me to say it sitting here comfortably in my life of privilege.
Of course.
Yeah. But like, there's enough corruption in other parts of the world that makes me think, well, of course, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be there. It's going to be everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
So, hey.
Huh?
Ah.
Hi.
Oscar nominations out today. Did you see?
Of course I did not.
I'm fucking buzzing, Andy. If I was to tell you.
You are.
If I was to tell you that a movie from last year has broken the record for most nominations ever.
Ooh.
What would you think it would be?
Well, I know. I remember Titanic got like 11 nominations.
Mere peanuts.
One Battle After Another?
Got 13. Not the record.
Wow.
The record is 16 nominations now.
What is it? It's going to be some. Complete Unknown?
Nope. That was last year. You're thinking Marty Supreme? Only got 9.
I wasn't thinking that.
Yeah, sure you were. We all know you were.
What's that, Andy? Good point, but no. No idea.
Sinners!
Wow!
16 Oscar nominations.
Wow!
I don't know about it. I'm buzzing.
Know.
What do you mean? I've told you about it.
Yeah, but I know.
Michael B. Jordan plays twins. Stack and Smoke. Smokestack. Right? And it's about vampires, Andy.
Yeah, that part intrigues me, all right.
That's the least intriguing
part. Oh,
it's all about Irishness and black people and music and culture, and it's fucking dead.
Why has it gotten that many? Why has it gotten that many?
Because it's brilliant.
Where's your podcast, Chief?
What?
Where's your top 10 podcast?
Hey, you know what? I literally sat down yesterday. I'm like, gonna record it tonight, and then a movie that I didn't think I was gonna be able to watch before it dropped came on to my thing. So I watched that last night. So tonight, okay. Tonight, is of the all night? Nights, is going to be a podcast.
Tonight, aggro. There's going to be a podcast. So Sinners, I assume, will be in your list somewhere.
It's one of 2 5-star movies I rated this year. So it'll be there.
Hey, I have a question.
Sure. Follow me on Letterboxd, folks. I can't remember what my name is.
The Boy Toner Gangster Style. Follow me as well. No, you can't. Well,
if you like no activity.
Well, I have a question though, because we were watching, you know, on the Patreon series that we're doing now, we're doing the movies of Matt Damon. Just about to record after this episode a review of The Rip, just released on Netflix last week.
Mm-hmm.
But I seen Matt Damon and Ben Affleck on Joe Rogan. Mm-hmm. And I sent you the link.
Good. I didn't watch all 2.5 hours of it because
it's a lot.
You know, it was time.
But you know, I find now I listened to it in work, so it's like it was alright. I find like I don't listen to Joe Rogan, but I did used to a lot. But now I will dip in if it's someone he doesn't know, like if it's him and his friends, I don't. But if it's someone like John Cena was on there last week, or
these two are the perfect.
Ethan Hawke was on it.
Yeah, he fucking smoked his ass.
He was great.
Got nominated for Best Actor.
Oh, great!
You're not gonna win, but
I liked what Matt Damon. I love hearing Matt Damon talking about movies, and
the two of them are highly intelligent.
Very. And now I didn't realize how much Ben Affleck gesticulates. Yeah. Everything is like all hands and like you know.
He's kind of an ape man though. Like,
and you know what? And I have to say, look. Credit where it's due. Matt Damon is a beautiful man, right? And I was watching Joe Rogan and I said to Carrie, because every time I say to Carrie, she gives me like, no, not for me. I'm like, no, you are not going to sit there and tell me
that little scruff.
That Matt Damon there isn't a handsome man. And she's like, you know what? Yeah. She's like, if he maybe grew his beard out for another few weeks. And I'm like, honestly, this beard thing, we had a full-blown argument about me shaving my beard a couple of weeks ago. And I'm like, it's my fucking face.
Does you like Affleck's beard?
No, doesn't like it. She didn't like Affleck's energy at all. But but she thought, yeah, Matt Damon, 55, like just the right sort of energy. You know what I mean?
Looks great for 55.
He looks phenomenal. He actually looks better now than he did when he was 25.
He said he's in the best shape of his life. He's down to like 170 pounds after doing the Odyssey.
I'm kind of ripped as well. But not like showy ripped. No, you know, it's just like functional like ripped.
1% body fat. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
But he was talking about, you know, how they make movies. I thought it was really interesting that like for Netflix now, and it kind of makes sense. It's almost like it's gone. It's like a YouTubeification of movies where it's like you have to have that hook in the first 5 minutes. Yeah. Just like anyone on YouTube will tell you.
The data.
Get
the scientists.
that first 30 seconds. What's the audience retention that first 30 seconds? It's just spanned out for
a
movie.
Shit, to be honest. Like.
But like, yeah, but that's what they have to think about now. It's like, okay, we need something right at the start because you're not going to walk out of a cinema if it doesn't grab you in the first 5 minutes.
I really like the threshold for walkout is the term. It was like, you're in the cinema.
It's got to be really bad.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's
out.
Got to like walk out after 20 minutes. It's got to be really. You're pot committed or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas at home, you're like
you have everything like, else at your disposal.
I'll go make myself a fajita. And like not watch this and stick on a podcast.
Or like
whatever.
I've been looking at my phone for 2 minutes. What's going on? I don't know. This is shit. You know, like that sort of stuff.
Having
to repeat the plot a few times because people are on their phones.
You know what I started doing when I'm watching a movie?
Yeah.
Because the battery in my phone is fucked. But I've started like charging it on the other side of the room, and I'm less inclined to second screen, you know. And particularly if I'm casting something off my phone, I'm like, well, that's great. I don't actually have to use my phone.
Yeah,
I'm so broken that it's like I need an excuse not to use my phone.
Oh man, I'm literally like I'll just find my body just doing it. Like Kerry will leave the room or something, and I'll be like, oh, you know,
put that down.
I'm terrible.
I love listening to them talk. You know, like Affleck on anything, like Affleck on politics.
He's interesting. You know, like he's smart. He's lived, wicked smart.
Yeah. I sent you on.
I just seen it there in the bathroom.
Hunting season.
But I have to admit, and I'm with you. Like I fucking love the two of them together, and they have a great dynamic, and they have a great chemistry, which we'll talk about in the Patreon. Yeah. So, but like they're just really.
I just
even
want them
because
to keep doing movies together. I love that they've set up this thing.
Artist equity.
Yeah, you know, like
where everyone gets paid.
Yeah,
if it does well. Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
it's great.
It's great, and like they're in a movie that was made by Ridley Scott, and like remember, Damon was stuck over here during lockdown.
Yeah.
Called The Last Duel, and it's like Ireland was subbing for France. And Affleck is in it, but he's not in it loads.
Yeah.
I don't think they have many scenes together. But I was like, you know what? Good for them that they just, like, they wrote the movie together.
Yeah.
And then they got a woman in to actually touch it up because they're like, oh, we need a woman's perspective on it.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, they're back together. They've lived 100 lifetimes in Hollywood. And now they're like, you know what I want to do? I just want to fucking hang out with my best friend.
Yeah.
And like, we love movies, make movies together, write movies together.
And I like that they're like, they're obviously super rich and famous now. But like the fact that they knew each other in like high school when they weren't, and like they didn't have anything. You know, and like to still, it's so interesting. I feel like the dynamic hasn't changed. True. Like they're both getting success at the same time, going higher and higher.
Who's a bigger star, do you think?
Affleck, I think.
Funny. I don't think that's the consensus. I really don't think that's the consensus.
I think Damon's better. But
I think it's actually the opposite. I think Affleck's better, but I think Damon's the bigger star. He has Bourne, he has Oceans.
Yeah, but Affleck's got Batman, and
he's got the worst Batman.
It's more the fact that it's the J-Lo stuff and Jennifer Garner or whoever.
Maybe
like,
Affleck,
you see him in media, like not to his.
Maybe Affleck's a bigger celebrity, but like a bigger movie star. Like
I suppose
like,
the name nowadays, Matt Damon. You got Matt Damon.
He's nominated for Oscars. Like Ben Affleck has never been nominated as a movie star, but he's won Best Picture as a director and producer. Yeah,
for which The Town,
Argo.
Oh,
yeah. It's okay. It's
interesting.
It's okay.
It seems like you're very much back on the Oscar bandwagon, Terry. After they've let you down, and need I remind you how they shafted you before? You have Stockholm syndrome with the Oscars. Like, you know what? They're not the worst in the world.
When they do something like this,
has been recognized. Well,
they're recognizing like 13 for Sinner, 13 for One Battle. You know, 16 for Sinners. Like, fucking, let's go. Let's go.
Let's fucking go. Hey, Terry, can I hit you with something? Do you have anything else to talk about?
Not really. No, those are my two biggins.
Can we get into our first segment of the evening?
Sure.
Which one's better? You can't both have the same title.
Which one's better?
Who wins?
So, welcome to the new segment, sir. A second song has hit the tower.
I think we need to workshop that name.
I think it's fine. I think it's fine. Yeah.
Any American listeners?
Sorry,
never forget. Rob, thank you so much. After you send us such a lovely message at Christmas as well.
This guy sends us. What did the rest of you like get us in that much? He sends us these lovely messages around New Year's when he's gone on a road trip with his family, and just it's usually something relating to the pod.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Step foot in Kentucky. Yeah. Told us an interesting fact about how it's only Kentucky.
I'd never heard that before.
Yeah, it's only a bourbon if it's made in Kentucky. Did you
know? You mentioned that to me before.
Yeah, no, I didn't know myself. Yeah. Sir, a second song has hit the tower. I chosen this time, and I've gone broad.
I was surprised.
The song title. I'm very interested to hear what you have to say. The song title is Runaway. Now, I could have also opted...
Add like 10 more. Like, you could have had 10 more.
I could have opted for Del Shannon. Is that his name?
Runaway and never
You know,
back.
The... Wonder. If you went away and I wonder...
I mean, that's the winner.
I mean, probably.
Yeah.
But I opted for... First one is The Corrs, Runaway, right? Everyone knows it. Right, I'll play a bit of it here.
Hadn't heard it in 20 years.
As you know, great.
There's nothing like me and you. I'm not alone. Tell me you feel it too. And I would run away. I would run away. Yeah, yeah. I would run away. I would run away. Falling in love with you, know.
And just while we're playing the songs, let's hit us with the second Runaway, Bon Jovi. Look, I'm going to ask you which one do you think is better?
They're both very good.
I agree, they're both very good. And I thought when I was putting them together, I'm like, I think I know what I'm going to pick.
But
when I listened to them both,
you sent me Bon Jovi first, yeah, and I played it, and I was like, ooh,
that, yeah.
And I was like, and then after a minute, I was like, what else you got?
Yes,
you know,
I was like, the same. I'm like, incredible first, yeah, 60 seconds. I'm like, well, this is the best song I've ever heard. That, like, alone,
I'm fucking rock hard. And now 60 seconds in,
it's a bit semi. It's a bit, yeah, of a semi, yeah, now. I just, like, need, oh, just give me a minute. Yeah,
yeah. Well, don't just lie there, Bon Jovi. Do something. Like,
help me out here. Yeah.
What do you think? And you know what? You know what? I can be quite the Bon Jovi's man. You know, Bad Medicine is like,
Bad Medicine's, yeah, incredible. Wanted Dead or Alive is incredible.
It's all right.
That's great.
It's all right.
Always is the best song ever written. Dum, dum, dum.
Bad Medicine is their best song. Bad Medicine is their best song.
I always associate Bad Medicine with their comeback on the pod.
Yeah.
But, you know, like,
we are back.
Yeah, clinking champagne.
Also, Jane, Silent Bob.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I was the same when I heard the Bon Jovi one. I was like, oh, this is obviously gonna win. And then I was like, oh, it is kind of, it levels out after about a minute. And I'm like, it doesn't hit the highs of, like, in the first 30 seconds, I'm like, this is the best song I've ever heard in my life.
Here we go.
So then, and then I went to the chorus. And, like, I hear it on the radio sometimes, but I'm like,
never listened to it with my headphones on. I think it's the first time I ever listened to it with my headphones on.
And
fucking brilliant.
It is fucking,
I was like,
brilliant.
What is going on? I was like, this is
cause yeah.
But even the first minute where it's like, have they dropped out, like, a bunch of the noise that I remember hearing? Like, because I was like, why is it just Andrea Corr's voice?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like real, like, you know, the rest of the instruments are kind of low for the first minute. And I was like, wow, this is really good.
Mm.
And then, like, as you say, it builds
that
up.
That gets better as it goes on. And then it gets the big crescendo.
Like, they don't make a song like a pop ballad like that anymore.
And,
like,
you know what? It's
a lost fucking art.
It is a lost art. And it's so perfect in that, like, it gives me connotations of, it's like, it sounds Irish. Like, regardless of, like, knowing that they're Irish, but it sounds Irish. And just that, whatever it was, 94, 95, like, it's just, like,
it's the 90s, man.
Takes me right back to the 90s. And I know, like, Bon Jovi's one was, like, I think 88 or something like that.
Seems earlier in the 80s.
But that chorus song is damn near perfect. Yeah. Like, when it gets, and, like, the drumming in it is actually really good at the end. And it just, it kind of ramps up, rocks up a little bit.
Gives you a little sprinkling of, like, Jim Steinman, you know, to invoke our favourite.
Yes.
Like, a little sprinkling of, like, not goth rock, you know what I mean? But, like, romance rock or something, you know what I mean? Like, that it's like...
Like, you never hear that, like, just a little violin.
You know,
you're like, oh, yes! The chorus, I tell you what,
underrated band.
Fucking bangers.
Underrated band. Fucking always loved their version of Dreams.
Which, the Cranberries?
No, not. What's the only?
Yeah.
Is it Dreams? Okay.
Yeah, that's Dreams. Sorry.
I fucking love that version of it.
Summer Sunshine.
I mean, shout out to our boy Ryan Carrick.
Yeah, I know he's listening. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah.
But there's a lot. I mean, they've a couple of Breathless, another fucking banger.
Go on,
leave me breathless. So we're in agreement then.
Yeah.
That the best runaway. Yeah, now, if I was to throw a spanner in the works and throw in Del Shannon into that mix,
I'd have to listen to it again. You know what I mean? But for the two that was there, I think it's 2 weeks in a row we're in agreement.
Yeah. Here's the Del Shannon one.
Gotta have that. It's fucking good.
It's good, isn't it?
It's fucking good.
It's so good.
Have you watched any of Fallout?
No.
It's good.
I've heard it's good.
It's in the second season. And the first episode of the second season had two songs that I immediately put onto the Garbage Patrol. And it was like Roy Orbison song I had never heard called Working for the Man.
Oh, no, I haven't heard it.
It's really good, but it's that vibe. And then Big Iron, have you ever heard that song?
No.
It's fucking good too, man.
Is it like a doo-woppy sort of 50s thing as well?
Kind of 50s cowboy thing. Like, and I was like, ooh. And a lot of the music is that. Like, they play a song at the end that's from like the 1920s, 1930s.
Yeah.
Like that song that was on the driving playlist, like, You Always Hurt.
Yeah,
the one. I was like, that was like dropped in. I was like, oh, like that was on my playlist as well. Nice. Ah, speaking of, just before we get into our last segment, I watched a movie called Sentimental Value. Have you heard of it?
Of course not.
It is starring Renata Rensvi, Stellan Skarsgård.
Gesundheit.
You know who Stellan Skarsgård is.
He's
in Good Will Hunting. He's your man. Like Matt Damon, you know how fucking easy this is.
Oh, him, yeah.
You know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. Elle Fanning is in it, who's Dakota Fanning's younger sister.
Oh,
I'm a huge fan.
Oh, great! Didn't even know she had one.
One fan.
She's terrible.
Yeah, but I really like the director, and he did a movie. A few years ago called The Worst Person in the World.
Uh-huh.
And I loved that movie. I'm a little bit cooler on this one, but it was still very good.
Uh-huh.
But the point I was trying to make is, throughout the movie, there's like three or four times where I was like, you know when you have your playlist and it's like a hidden gem that like you discover and you put on it, and you're like, oh, that's one for me. And he had like four of those songs in the movie, and I was doing the DiCaprio like... Hey! I was like, all right, but I was like, I like this movie and I like the director and we've got the same taste.
Yeah.
So therefore, I must have good taste. Yeah. If this acclaimed director puts these songs in the movie, then I must have good taste because I had them on my playlist first.
It's a little nod to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm fine, by the way. I'm doing good. Just so you know.
You're looking in the mirror. Like, you do have good taste. Yeah. You do have good taste.
Damn, now, you got good taste.
Dare I ask, I seen something about your David Ehrlich thing. Is that out?
It's out.
Were you happy with it?
I was happy with it.
This is Terry's big annual...
Really helps break up the old January blues.
Yeah, where this some editor or something...
He's a film critic.
Yeah, makes like puts an edit together with good songs with the movies of last year.
And it's all songs that were featured in the movies from the previous year. And he puts a little like, this song was used in this movie at the end or whatever. Like,
how many times have you watched it?
Two.
Oh, shit, is it?
No, but... Come on, it's
hit me.
It may be the last one. He said he's finding it harder and harder to do them. It may be the last one. And I was like, I don't think you're going out on your strongest one. Still some really good bits in it.
But it could be one of those things where it's like, he was passionate about it the first 2 years maybe, but then they got so popular that it's like, it becomes a bit of a chore for him to do.
He does them for like fundraising for them. So the last few years has all gone to like Palestine.
Right.
And
like,
he's a Jewish man, which I, you know, there's a kind of
That's good.
Interesting conflict there, you know.
Yeah.
But so like, I was very happy with his choice, his number one choice.
Uh-huh.
Same choice as my number one.
Oh.
Of the year. I'm not going to say. I'll never tell. but I don't know. And there's some great needle, like sync ups and stuff. Like, he does a little bit, as you know, beforehand, where it's like the introduction, and it's like the golden,
yeah,
but you know, from K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, we're going up, up, up. And it's like literally the bit, like there's so much of the biplane sequence from Mission Impossible in it.
Oh yeah.
He's like, we're going up, yeah, up, up. And I was like he didn't have that in the top 25, but like it featured quite heavily. I mean, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't have it in your top 25 of the year?
Maybe number 25.
Has there even been 25 movies released this
year? Yes, Andy. I've seen like 60 new releases last year.
Wow. Wow.
We live different lives.
All right, well, time for our final segment. Speaking of music. Now, this is a hot off the press bangers for Terry.
Literally today.
The Arctic Monkeys released this song as of 3 o'clock today.
3 p.m.
So, we'll play the jingle and we'll come back.
Boom, 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 boom. It's bangers for Terry. Boom, boom, boom. What will you be?
Just put me out of my misery. Tell me how shit you think it is.
You know what? I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I wasn't gaga.
You weren't gaga?
I certainly wasn't gaga.
It's not a gaga.
It didn't hit me where I was like, oh, they're back. Or like, you know, like when you hear the first chords to Do I Wanna Know and you're like, whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. You know, this I was like, oh. Okay, and then I gave it a little listen a couple of times. So I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know if this would be, yeah.
And then I was like, do I prefer the fucking bullshit from the previous two albums? Where, like, at least he's going for something weird.
This is my thing. Tranquility Base.
I think we can all agree this mass psychosis needs to end.
What?
That, like, people think it's good.
Tranquility Base.
Yeah.
No. It's amazing. It's fucking
garbage.
Brilliant. I guarantee if I just if I just honestly if I could just sit you down.
We've done the album. We did it on Patreon.
If I sat with you and I'd be like, how about this? It'd be excruciating for you. Yeah. But if I
you'd have a ball. Let's do that with Citizen Kane.
We do that with the podcast.
I'm not sitting beside you and being like, hey, look at this.
Tranquility Base is class, but...
No, you're not just saying that as a blanket statement.
So we've agreed on that. No. So it's class.
Ass.
Because, I mean, it's genuine. I mean, it's not just class. It's a fucking masterpiece as well.
What are you talking about?
Terry. You're just not getting it.
Give me some of that crack you're smoking.
Never mind. But I will say, because like when The Car came out, the last album, I was like...
Underwhelming.
First few listens, I was like, yeah, it's class. And then I'm like, it faded fast. You know, some good songs. I liked Mirror
this
Ball.
This is not going to last.
But I kind of felt The Car had nothing to say. You know, like, A, like...
What did the Tranquility Base have to say?
It's a take on technology, on fucking human existence, sci-fi. It's fucking it's everything. It's to do with there's loads of themes in it, right?
Yeah, why settle for one theme when I can throw 50 at the wall and see what sticks?
It's not subtle. They all sound.
It's not subtle.
Anyway.
And it, okay.
That's one thing. We won't agree on that. The car was like, Tranquility Base, but without the edge. You know what I mean? It was like, it's still the crooner style, but it's not giving me that, like, ooh, like the one feeling that you're talking about.
Yeah, from their best album, AM.
This kind of feels a little bit like a mix of the last... I've seen someone online saying this is like if the last three albums had a baby.
Yeah, I was like, I could see them slotting this in to like the back end of AM.
But don't you think that this... Yeah, don't you think that this sounds...
Like it'd probably be the worst one on AM.
This sounds quite Crosby, Stills and Nash-y. The harmonies here, listen. Wait.
You're reaching. No, no. You're fucking reaching, man. Like... Not a chance. How dare you?
There was a bit.
I'm going to get Graham Nash on the phone to yell at you now.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. It's too fucking late, Andrew.
I wasn't a huge fan.
Okay.
And I don't like the way they've called their album Help.
Is that the name
Squared
of the album?
Squared or something like that. Like it's Help. I saw it, and I saw it's like a collaboration album or something. As well,
it's for War Child. It's some war relief fund. Okay. I think that's what that is. I think that maybe what is what the Help is. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I assumed the Help was. You know, like something to do with whatever.
I saw it on Twitter because it was like a behind the scenes thing, and like kids were filming them and stuff. And it was like, I was like, oh okay. That's a very noble cause if that's the case. But
I'd
like,
be interested. I thought it was okay myself.
It's disingenuous.
I don't believe it. I don't know about disingenuous, but I kind of thought...
I don't believe anything he sings about anymore. That's the thing. I used to believe him.
Yeah.
Post-AM, I'm like, what are you talking about? What's your perspective? You know? Whereas, and like I said, we sat and we watched Glastonbury then perform in 2007.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can never.
I mean, it's great, but
you can never go home again. But no. Like, it was like, fuck, look at him there, how different he was. The
energy. It is different. I mean, he's younger though.
Yeah,
as well.
I know. But like, it was just he had so much to say.
Well, that's
it. And now I'm like, you don't have like, anything to say.
That's kind of what I'm. That's my issue. Is that like, I feel like every album has its own sound and its own like, oh, they're going this direction now, and you know,
no depth though. Like
to the new ones.
Yeah,
I just kind of think like. I feel like they're not enjoying it. Yeah. You know, like I felt the car was a bit, you know, just a little bit humdrum. And then this is a little bit more like it. This is not a bad song, but it didn't. I agree. It didn't get my needle moving. No. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's not like the first minute of Runaway by Bon Jovi.
No, few are. Yeah. But I was very excited. I was like, oh, a new Arctic Monkeys song. Fucking yes.
I've got a banger for you next week.
Oh?
Yeah.
Bangers for Andy?
Yeah. How do you feel about heavy metal?
Love it.
Great.
How do I feel? I ask you that question. I'm the heavy metalsman of this group.
Excuse me.
I am clearly the heavy metalsman of this dynamic. All right? Right. I had the long hair. I had the black.
yeah, but like that means nothing.
I got a metal, heavy metal albums, like death metal albums.
Like what?
Fucking Cradle of Filth and fucking Opeth and all these fucking
posers.
Yeah, I mean, I was a total poser back then. But I was only listening to Cruelty and the Beast by Cradle of Filth in the car only a month or two ago.
But like,
and like, it's weird, isn't it? Though that, but I find that's what is so like interesting is that you can. Some make it through where you're like that. I can see what's good about that. That's good. I like that. You know, but it just takes a certain. You have to be in at the time, or you know what I mean. Like,
I get you.
There's such a fine line between that's garbage and oh no, I see why that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's all just a choice, you know.
Some might say these are the choices that we make for one another.
You're saying nothing.
How do you like it? Right, let's wrap her up then.
Yeah.
All right. So you didn't even get to Brooklyn Beckham. Whose side are you on? Parents or kid?
I think I'm on the parents' side, to be honest.
Wow. Kid side, me.
You? I just kind of think, like, your mom danced at your wedding?
I'd say they're so controlling, and it's all about Brand Beckham, and they don't care about them. Like,
I do agree that there is probably a big thing of Brand Beckham and stuff like that.
I can totally see. Now,
I think the kid's been a bit extreme, to be honest.
But he's obviously...
He's not being abused. He's not... They're not, like, fucking... Well, like, they just... They're not that nice to his missus. or something like that, which is like
all sorts of shite
fine, but like, you know, how old is Brooklyn Beckham? Like 20?
20 something. No, he's more than 20, right?
25 maybe.
Yeah.
I just kind of, I think it's nothing, to be honest. You know what I mean?
Such a big Ferrari.
It's everywhere. It's like, oh, the big thing was like, oh, she danced inappropriately on me at my wedding, my own mother, or something like that. I'd be interested to see what
like,
that's on.
Grinding
about.
Up against him, yeah. Playing D'Angelo, like.
But they probably are, like. Do you know what the thing is? I'd say there's about maybe 80% truth in what he's saying.
Yeah.
But then, even if there is, like why are you posting? Who cares? Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even if that is all true, who cares? Yeah. You know?
Hey.
Yeah.
They've done a really good job of cultivating that brand. So much so that, like, everybody forgets that, like, he had an affair.
I don't forget that because
and they never talked about it on that fucking documentary either.
No,
like,
never do.
That worm fucking Fisher Stevens. If he had a backbone, oh, define me. He would have included in that documentary.
But like, they all cheat. Like, and the wags just go, well, I'm not giving up this lifestyle. Yeah. I'll forgive you.
I wouldn't.
And we'll now be at a B-level relationship, but I'll keep all the everything else that I like, which is A-level. You know what I mean? Like,
hard money house. You name it, I'll take it.
I have to admit, like, I do always think, this might be a bit harsh, but like, if someone cheats, celeb or not, and the person stays, I kind of just think like,
less of them. Like,
I think less of them. Yeah. I do. And not like, fair play to you for forgiving. I just kind of think, no, I think you're in the wrong for allowing this.
I don't know about that, but you know, strong words.
No, not for making them cheat, but just
For like, you're not in the wrong.
I think you're in the wrong by accepting it or by allowing it to continue. Yeah,
strong words.
Is it? Yeah. Is that strong?
They're in the wrong. They're the victim.
No, they're not.
You're victim blaming.
No, they're not. Out of the two of them, they're not the one who's in the wrong. Yeah. But I think they are.
You just said it.
No, I mean, look, the person who cheated is by far most wrong.
Yeah.
But I also think it is wrong for the cheatee.
Wow.
To,
this is the hill you want to die on. Well, I'm about to get this podcast cancelled.
How? What am I saying? That so, like, I do think you shouldn't. You shouldn't accept.
Just stop digging.
I think you're trolling me now.
All right.
Well, on that note.
Okay, on that note.
Folks, be faithful out there. if you want to hear more of these inane ramblings, or you would like to hear us discussing as part of our Matt Damon mini-series, we've just covered Rounders 2 weeks ago, and we jumped ahead of the queue in the chronological order to cover the rip.
Got there in the end.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we're going to be discussing that now. If you want to hear that, patreon.com/whatssogreatabout. You'll find that mini-series. You'll find our Big Willy's Flops mini-series about Will Smith. You'll find the MCU mini-series, our Ryan Gosling mini-series, our movies of Tony Scott mini-series, heist movies mini-series.
Mm-hmm.
Stop saying mini-series in there. 90s action mini-series.
Plus a bunch of one-offs,
top fives, pitching movie ideas to each other. It's a good time.
It's a good time,
and it's a mere €5 a month. We're literally losing money on the deal.
And you know, we talked about our little two songs hitting the tower or whatever like that. Like, you can suggest two songs for us too if you're a patron. You know, and if you want us to cover any topic, again, if you're giving us €5, slide a little note under our door. Again, through the Patreon.
There is no limit to what we will do for that €5. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
I'll put it to you that way.
Now, if you can't afford...
To each other...
No, what?
Huh? What?
If you can't afford the €5 a month, well...
Drop dead.
Or you can do me one more better by doing something for free.
Here we go.
By giving a rating and review. Now, Andy.
Yeah, Terry.
Your boy, Marty Supreme, got 9 Oscar nominations, but I don't need a 9-star review.
That'll be silly.
Just give me a 5-star review. A number. We talked about a number.
Just pick a number and I go with it.
Yeah, that is it.
It's really as simple as that.
Don't overthink it.
But that's it. We will chat about the rip off mic or on mic if you. I think we're nailing the Patreon thing a bit too hard. But
feed it.
Thanks so much for the support. And you know what? our stats are pretty good at the minute.
Yeah.
And we have a pretty good average per day, higher than it's been in quite some time.
It's because we're back. We're focused.
Yes.
We're locked in. And families be damned.
So, yeah, screw them. So thank you so much for bearing with us during our absences and for listening and for engaging and everything. Thanks so much. Yeah. We love you.
Well, he loves you. You get the big L from me behind the paywall when you give me that sweet, sweet $5. But until then, I hope you're minding yourselves out there and enjoy the rest of your January.
Delightful.
Hold on.